So now we're going to look at univariate statistical tests. We've described the data, and maybe we've described the data to understand who's in our sample, and maybe we've described our data to infer the population that the sample represents. But now we have a question about some aspect of that sample. We want to test a hypothesis. That hypothesis might be whether or not the data conform to what we're hoping, or whether or not the data conform to known population properties. Those are the two basic sources of univariate hypotheses. Following the same format and sequence we've done before, we're going to start out looking at what we do with qualitative variables, and we're going to use a goodness of fit chi-square test. It tests hypotheses about the distribution of category values of the population represented by the sample. Remember, all inferential statistical tests, all null hypothesis significance testing is about population parameters. You know what the sample parameters are, you have them. It's about the population parameters. The null hypothesized, the null value is the hypothesized population distribution based on either prior knowledge of population distribution, you know what it should be if this is a good sample, or prior knowledge of population distribution in this variable, which is your idea about what it ought to be based on theory. Okay, theoretically, if I go out and sample Democrats, I ought to have so many who feel this way about abortion and so many who feel this way about abortion. Or I might have what's essentially the same information based on prior research. Now, these two are sometimes hard to separate because one is hypothetical or theoretical and the other is prior information, but they can make exactly the same inference. For example, we might expect that we have 65% females and 35% males. We might expect that in the class we have 30% freshmen, 45% sophomores, and 25% juniors. One thing that you want to notice about univariate tests, much more so than bivariate or multivariate tests, the research hypothesis and the null hypothesis are typically the same thing. Because what you're trying to do here is to say I know what the population values are. Most of the time, you want to retain the null because you want to have been right about what that distribution is. So it's a little backwards from usual. Binary and ordered category variables are usually tested this way. The goodness of fit chi-square compares the hypothesized distribution and the sample distribution. Retaining the null means the sample distribution is equivalent to the population distribution, and notice equivalent to because it's a statistical inference. You either retain or reject the null of equivalency. We're not talking about equal and unequal. That's truth. We don't do truth. We just do statistics. Rejecting the null means the sample distribution is different from the population distribution. And to be fair and honest, even that's in quotes. So here's the data that we might have. The number of freshmen, sophomores, and juniors taking a class. This is the chi-square distribution. What we're going to do is we're going to take the observed minus the expected, square it, divide it by the expected, and add them up all over. Okay? That's why it's known as a chi-squared distribution, because we're squaring. We'll do this in much more detail later. But if either of these isn't normal, their difference isn't normal, and their square isn't a chi-square. I mentioned earlier that chi-square is a parametric statistic. It does make some assumptions about the distribution of the underlying data. And this is just a quick look. If this doesn't give you a normal distribution, squaring it doesn't give you a chi-square distribution, and you have a number that doesn't belong anywhere, and it makes it difficult to interpret. So the observed frequencies are the actual data values. The expected frequencies are based on a priori hypothesis. However that hypothesis is expressed, absolute or relative proportions, percentages, whatever, you have to convert it to expected frequencies. Because you can't take observed frequencies minus expected proportion, or you get nonsense. So you have to convert whatever you expect to expected frequencies. And I fuss about that because the only time the two are parallel is when you happen to have exactly 100 cases. Other than that, if you don't do that conversion, you're not doing a chi-square. You're doing nonsense. So here's the data we have, here's the formula, and here's the research hypothesis in a general form. About half of the sample are sophomores and the rest are divided between freshmen and juniors. Okay, now what we've got to do is we've got to take that and do ourselves a chi-square. First thing we have to do is obtain the expected frequency. We have to determine the category proportions. That language there suggests that sophomores are 50%, freshmen and juniors are 25% each. Make sense? And that's the sort of transition you have to do. Nobody ever gives it to you simply. They give it to you in a way that's simple to them. Statisticians have to take care of themselves. We then determine the category frequency as the proportion of the total. So we add up the total. We take each proportion. I forgot to go back and change this. I'm sorry. I had to mess around a little bit to get a good number. So that should be 134, and that's 33.5, and 67, which is half, and that's 33.5. So the first thing you got to do is get those expected frequencies. Then you compute the chi-square. So what we have is, for the freshman, we have the observed minus the expected squared over the expected. For the sophomores, we have the observed minus the expected squared over the expected. For the juniors, same thing. We end up with a chi-square of 16.85, big old number. Notice, if you will, that chi-square cannot be less than zero. Because no matter what this is, whether the observed is larger or smaller than the expected, we square it. So it becomes positive. So the smallest chi-square value possible is none. It's a one-sided distribution. We then determine the degrees of freedom and the critical chi-square. The degrees of freedom is based on the number of groups minus one. We can then look up the chi-square from the table that I have for you. Here's a chi-square table. And we have degrees of freedom for 0.05 and 0.01, and so critical value for 2 degrees of freedom is 5.99. For 0.01, it's 9.21. And then we do the null hypothesis significance test. Since the chi-square is greater than the critical chi-square for 2 degrees of freedom and the 0.01, we would reject the null at p equals 0.01. And so it looks like what we expected is different from what we got. Because that's what rejecting the null means. What we expected is not what we got. And then we interpret. It looks like there are slightly more freshmen than expected, slightly more sophomores than expected. I'm sorry, I'm doing it backwards. Fewer freshmen than expected, fewer sophomores than expected, and way more juniors than expected. Unfortunately, there's not an agreed-upon follow-up so you can figure out which of those cells contributed the most to the difference that you found. People will sometimes do things like pairwise comparisons. Works. The problem is when you go from the 3 cells to the 2, there's an incredible drop in power. And even if you don't do alpha correction, which is tempting to do because you're now doing multiple follow-ups, you're very likely to end up in a situation where you have a difference that isn't anywhere. So you have a difference, but all the pairwise comparisons come back null. It gives you exactly the same information that this, I mean, looking at this difference and looking at that number, there's no significance test for this. Because it's a thing, it has no degrees of freedom, we can't build a sampling distribution for it. So whether you look at this difference or actually calculate the the error or the residual, which SPSS will do for you, or if you look at this number and how far it is from zero, you're doing the same thing three different ways. All you've got is a numerical comparison. And if you like one of those better than the others, do it. But there's no way to get to one number summary that you then have a distribution for. Great question. Now, screw that by hand shit. SPSS will do it. Here's the problem with SPSS. If you had these data, if I brought you these data, and I said, put it in SPSS, what you would have to do is make 25 cases with a value of 1, 55 cases under it with a value of 2, and 54 cases under them with a value of 3. No. So you do things by hand. No, we have a computator. And the computator is here. And this computator is designed to be useful for both goodness of fit chi-squares and the chi-square test of independence that we'll start, that we'll look at on Tuesday. If you want to do a goodness of fit chi-square, you put your expected frequencies here, your obtained frequencies there, it'll do out to 6 categories. Make sure if you fill up the blue stuff, you click the blue box. And then here is a part of a critical value table so you don't have to go looking, but we have something better for you. And so you plug in those, you click this, get the same value. We can look at this and we can see that with 2 degrees of freedom, that's bigger than the 0.01, so we could say P less than 0.01. If we want more detailed information, there are a whole bunch of p-value calculators on the web. Here's a link to one of them. You come down to Z, or to the chi-square part, you plug in the 16.85, you plug in the 2 degrees of freedom, you say compute P, and it comes back with a p-value of 0.0002. Goodness of fit chi-squares should be done a lot more often than they are, because they're a great way of figuring out if our univariate data are what we expect. When our univariate data aren't what we expect, very often our bivariate and multivariate results don't go well. And we don't know why. You know, it's kind of like, let's say that you've written this really rocking essay question for your class. And this essay question is just absolutely awesome. It asks them to be able to apply a particular thing that you spent 2 days talking about. Well, if they got a high score on it, you know what it means. They know the vocabulary, they know the concepts, they understand how the concepts relate to each other, and they can apply them. Right? If they get a shitty score, you don't know what the problem is. It could be that the reason they can't apply it is they don't know it because they don't understand it because they never learned the damn words. Same thing. It's nice to know if your univariate data are behaving the way you think they are before you start asking about multivariate and bivariate analyses. One of the reasons the goodness of fit chi-squares don't get done enough is they're annoying. Not so much anymore. Type in a total of 8 numbers and you've got the chi-square and an exact p-value. Okay? It's not so hard. And it does let you know if your data match what you were hoping they would.